Initially, we were looking at this being on last week's show here, and then we ended up getting rescheduled for this week. Had it been last week, it would have been the day after the elimination episode on WWE Tough Enough for her. But the person that we have on right now, we always love to talk to people on this program where there are many different things to discuss with them, and certainly there are. The experiences on Tough Enough, all the charitable efforts that she is working on behalf of, and she's working on behalf of them in her capacity, oh, by the way, as the present Miss USA. I speak, of course, of Rima Fakih. It's a pleasure to have her on the program. Rima, great to have you on the show tonight. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, fine, thanks. Like to start with you in a topical area, sort of like what we did with the previous guest here. And I noticed on your Twitter account there that you had given a nice little shout out to the military for having taken care of things as they did on Sunday. I'm guessing for somebody like you with your ethnic and religious background, and it's from what I've read, your family's really kind of been through a lot in the last 10 years with some of the things that have happened. Unfortunate a byproduct, you know, some attitudes towards Muslims in the wake of 9/11. So I'm guessing you must have had an awful lot of memories and a lot of emotions just come crashing back when we all kind of got that little bit of closure about Bin Laden on Sunday night.
I definitely did, actually. I'm lucky that I'm currently with the Miss Universe organization as a title holder apartment, and we're out of New York City. I'm normally traveling, but I happen to be right next to the World Trade Center for dinner at an event for Jimmy Fallon when the news broke out a little bit later. And I'm happy you bring this up, because what I did is I felt great pleasure in hearing the news, and I was very happy to hear that we have kind of a lot of the Americans celebrating, including an incident at one of the baseball games. I believe it was the Indians or the Angels game, where everyone just started shouting USA. What I did the next day is I went over to my sister, older sister's house, and she was one of the people who was stuck in with World Trade Center. And so was my brother-in-law. So I just kind of took some flowers and just kind of congratulated them to make them feel a little better that, you know, they kind of felt like democracy has been made for our country, and we felt a lot more of a relief and more safe.
Well, that's a very touching angle to it that you bring up there. I'm glad you got a chance to mention that story. The interesting thing is, as I said, you know, with your ethnic and religious background, before this had even happened, if we had, I thought originally we were booking you for the show last week. If I had talked to you then, there's actually something along these lines I wanted to bring up. Coincidentally, not about Bin Laden. But I do know that you have the background, of course, with your family being Lebanese. I understand that you were born there and spent the first couple of years of your life. They, of course, in recent months, as you well know, have more or less been taken over by this Hezbollah front group. So I'm just curious about if you've heard anything from friends and family about if life over there has started to change in any way yet, or if you haven't heard anything like that.
Oh, you kind of caught me off guard. I was getting all excited, being a tomboy that I am, to talk about sports. But
yeah.
But you know what? On this topic, to be honest with you, I'm very happy to hear from family back in Lebanon that Lebanon has, come a long way. They're rebuilding. A lot of the areas in Beirut has been rebuilt, and nice hotels and resorts. And, you know, I hear they have a really nice nightlife. So maybe when I'm done with my crown, I can take a tour back in Lebanon and see how it's all coming along. But to be honest with you, I'm very proud, and I feel very lucky and honored to be born, to be actually born in Lebanon, but raised in America, where there's a lot of opportunity and a lot of freedom.
Well, you mentioned sports. I certainly want to get to that. Maybe we'll make that the next thing here. But last thing I want to mention along those lines here, just to commend you for something that I had come across a quote of yours when I was preparing for talking to you here tonight when the whole Ground Zero mosque thing came up last summer, when you said that obviously there's a constitutional right to put it there, but it comes down to a moral issue. Is it the right thing? I just wanted to commend you for framing it that way, because I always thought the whole constitutional thing was a straw man. Of course there's a constitutional right. It comes down to right and wrong and sensitivity to the 9/11 family. So my last note on that is just to say I thought that was a job very well
Thank
done
you
on your
so
point
much.
To redirect people to that.
I was agreeing with our President Obama. I put our trust in our President, and I know that he can lead this country in the right way, in the right direction, so I quoted him on that. And being that my family were also victims, and we also were in New York City during the incident, so mm-hmm. I kind of felt the pain and the struggle of a lot of Americans. So thank you so much.
Oh, sure. Well, you know, there's a logical segue here. We're talking about New York. We're talking about, you mentioned a second ago, sports here. Let's start the circle around, I guess, last Friday night, I believe it was. I believe your boyfriend, Ricky Romero, was pitching for Toronto against the Yankees here. I mean, here's a nice fat softball I'm going to lob for you. It looks like he's making the turn this year to becoming one of these guys that could be a perennial all-star. It looks like he's really sort of taking that turn in his career. So is that how it seems to be coming together from what you can see?
Yeah, I'm very proud of him, actually. And I remember when we first became friends, I was back in August after the Yankees game. Later on, and I told him, you're hardworking. I think you're going to do really good, and you might end up being the opening day pitcher. And he's so humble. He's like, haha, okay. And I'm like, and if you are, I'll be there to watch, even though he's like, you're very busy. I'm like, I promise. And I was. My organization, the Senior Organization, were kind enough to give me that day off to go see him open up for the Toronto Blue Jays on opening day. And then I had to go do the premiere for Tough Enough in Atlanta. But I'm very proud of him, and I don't know, on Friday, he almost gave me a heart attack when he threw a pitch, he called it the sinker that didn't sink, and it flew back at his face, but he was able to react and catch the ball right away.
Uh-huh. Well, he's really been making some great strides this year, and of course, had a good year last year to build on. Certainly. You mentioned Tough Enough, and I mentioned it, of course, in my intro for you that 8 days ago the episode appeared where it was your final one as a contestant on the program there. One of the things that I kind of thought about as I was watching that on there and as I was watching you, and it just struck me seeing you in the scenes with Trish Stratus there, that it seems like you and her sort of came to it in a lot the same way. Neither one of you were indie wrestlers prior to this. You both came to it more so kind of from the glamour background. And Trish is the one that really proved in that company that you can come in, mm-hmm. not have the wrestling background, and really become great. You know, she got to be a great worker by the time she hung them up, certainly. So what was that like to be mentored by her for that period of time and to get the kind of perspective from her? Because ultimately, if you make it, if you're successful, you'll be traveling on the trail that she blazed.
Exactly. You know, I admire Trish Stratus from, you know, the time I was, you know, younger and watching WWE, because what she did is she took the diva level of WWE onto another level, where she gave importance to female wrestlers. And before that, people didn't take female wrestlers really that serious. But because she was on the glamour side and she was one of the trainers, I felt a great relief. I was very happy when I saw her on the first day of the show. And the fact that I can relate to her meant a lot, especially when she told me that she feels that I can be the next Trish Stratus. You know, that's a great honor. It's like saying, you know, you can run for president. So I'm very happy that she was there, and she was definitely the one that you can talk to for comfort and you can relate to, because she was in my shoes before she became a wrestler.
Well, what it came down to in the end, and in the final critique of you on the show there, it seemed like were questions of athleticism, the fact that you were coming to this and not from a previous wrestling background or the like. And, of course, Trish Stratus, when she came in, she didn't have a narrow time period to learn all of this. She had the benefit of being able to take longer to get to do it. What did you kind of take away from this with the time that you spent there? And, of course, obviously, in your capacity as Miss USA, it's not like you're going to be able to get in a lot of ring work right now. But what were some things that you kind of took away that, like, look, if this is going to work down the road here, these are some things I can do, and these are some ways that I can go about it?
Well, one thing that I realized, which was really odd, is the fact that the more time I spend on Tough Enough, the more I realized that it's just like the Miss USA pageant. And I'll be crowning the next queen on June 19th in Planet Hollywood, Las Vegas, so everyone can watch me on NBC Live as I give my crown away. What people need to know is these young women are there for 3 weeks to promote and market themselves and show that they can wear that crown and can represent this country in a lot more than just being a beauty queen. And same thing with Tough Enough. I couldn't believe my eyes when I realized that the wrestlers, they travel you know, around 265 days a year, and Miss USA does 365, and I've been Miss USA for 13 months, and they have to market themselves. They have to go in the ring and attract the audience, and, you know, you gotta be tough, because if you're not tough enough, people can eat you alive. It's more of a mental game than a physical game. And same thing with being in Miss USA. It's the ultimate pageant. You know, no one can really mess with the Miss Universe organization. So you have to prove yourself, not because you're pretty. No, that's only 50%. You have to really show that you can be smart, you can be tough, and nobody can mentally take you down. You know, you have to break barriers and be fearless.
Now, for something like this, I mean, and this is what's fascinating about tough enough, and what you talked about not letting people get in your ear and everything like that. There seems to be a real dichotomy on the show, and particularly when you see episodes like last night, where Luke is under the microscope for his attitude and for allegedly thinking that he's superior to everyone else there, because pro wrestling really is a unique animal, isn't it? Because in something like this, it's a competition, it's a zero-sum game, you're trying to succeed at the expense of others, but to be a great pro wrestler is to be very well-versed in teamwork and making your opponent be able to look good as well as yourself, and being able to get across the story that you're trying to tell in the ring there. So how difficult is it in something like this where you're trying to stand out, but you also got to prove to the trainers that you can work for a common good at the same time?
Well, sometimes people can mistake confidence for being more, you know, big-headed or cockiness. You know, in Luke's situation, he was the most athletic male, well-trained in wrestling, and he had a great personality. And it intimidated a lot of people, and a lot of them took that into perspective that he is mean. I think one night when we were having dinner with Stone Cold and John Cena, I was one of the only two people out of the 12 people who didn't raise their hand and agreed that their person that they dislike the most is Luke. Mm-hmm. And the reason is I saw myself comparing myself to Luke, you know. I was, you know, maybe I didn't have the wrestling experience, but people don't understand that Miss USA beauty queens are, you know, very athletic. You know, you have to be in shape, you have to mm-hmm. be healthy. And I, at one point, realized that out of the girls, I felt like I was Luke of the guys. Mm-hmm. Now, after I left, I think that because there was a few incidents where Martin beat Luke in the ring, I think it made Luke just more competitive, and his competitiveness might have went to another level where, you know, people saw it as something they're not, you know, and I can compare to that because of things I went through on the show. People didn't really understand that I was being picked on and that I had to prove myself. They kind of, people watching the show, of course, they kind of took it as if, well, she's not acting like Miss USA. Well, on the show, that is Miss USA, protecting herself, watching her back, and showing that she can be tough.
Well, that's an interesting point you raise. I'd like to delve into that just a little bit more. So, in other words, then, if you were sitting in the position that the trainers were, you're saying that you personally wouldn't have the qualms that this guy would have, that Luke would have the level of teamwork necessary to be a top star. In other words, that he wouldn't be a constant pain in the ass and not liking his storyline, or this isn't benefiting me. You're saying that you really wouldn't have those qualms were you in their position?
You know what it is because I was in the house and I saw Luke on a personal note. And the trainers only see Luke in the ring. Mm-hmm. And the problem with Luke is that, like I said, you know, I mean, being a male who maybe wasn't the popular kid in school, not having that confidence or that self-esteem, you can misunderstand Luke's personality. And I'm not saying I was, but I'm more of a person that is very sociable. Like, you know, being part of Miss USA, you have to be able to talk to people and get to know them more. And I saw that Luke, he's just intimidating, and other people just kind of kept away from him. That's why he was so close with Jeremiah. Now, Luke can do a better job at making more friends, maybe by, you know, being nicer or helping them out. But then again, it's a competition. We're not there to make friends or work as a team. We're there to win a contract. And I thank Luke because by far he's the only one that actually helped me one-on-one on the side. Mm-hmm. So in my opinion, they just had to kind of get to know him more. And I think that throughout the show, I'm hoping they'll get to know him more on a personal note.
Well, and that's where editing and some of these other things come into play. I mean, I'm sure the producers are telling a story as well. But this is good stuff. You're really giving people the benefit of an additional
perspective. The producers are telling
This is almost like a director's cut talking to you, Rima.
Well, you know, the producers are telling a story, but it is the truth.
Okay.
So the problem is you don't see everything. For example, my first episode, mm-hmm. people saw me a little bit angry or being defensive, but they didn't see what was being thrown at me, or words or actual items being thrown at me. They didn't see the beforehand. They only saw the after. And that's because you can't put 1 week into 1 hour. And I think that with more time and with more scenes that are shown on WWE Tough Enough, you can get to learn a story. Same thing with Miss USA. When I first won, I had a lot of controversy. People didn't really see me as the real Miss USA. But, I mean, now that I've been Miss USA for 11 months, if you go on MissUSA.com and watch my reign on my video blogs or my videos, you'll see exactly the kind of work I was doing.
Exactly. And I want to ask you some Miss USA stuff here in a second, but you once again said something that's crying for a follow-up question, and that being, as far as the production of this goes, are you saying that you feel like there's obvious challenges in trying to fit a week into an hour of TV, actually significantly less than an hour when you figure commercials, but are you saying that you think under the circumstances that they've basically done the best job they could, told the fairest story they could given the limitations they're under?
I think that what they did is they told, it's a reality show, and they said they told reality. They gave the real highlights that people needed to know, and the extra, information or things that maybe they couldn't have gotten on to TV, they put it on the website, which I really admire about the producers. It's a great idea. You know, USA Network did a great job with that. And, of course, their sister stations with NBC, which is one of our partners with Miss Universe organization. So I think that what they're doing is they're showing the real story, but they're giving you the extra behind scenes online at WWE Tough Enough.
Well, that's great that they're able to do it that way and tell more of a complete story and kind of get around some of the limitations that they have. I know as regards to, and we've talked about this as an ancillary part of some of the other things we've discussed here, of course, your standing as the present Miss USA, that as you say, there will be another pageant upcoming and you'll be crowning a new one and you personally will be involved in that. But in your time as Miss USA, the information that has been forwarded to me, I have noted with very keen eye here, some of the things you've been involved with, particularly Susan G. Komen, as a mother who had breast cancer. I'm very appreciative to see that on there. But a great array of charities here. Gilda's Club NYC, additionally, Best Buddies, Project Sunshine USO, and the Ovarian Cancer National Alliance. So anything you'd like to get out there about any of those groups, anything that you've experienced or learned with them, please put it out there.
Actually, you know, I mean, I'm very proud of my platform, the Breast and Ovarian Cancer Awareness. It's something that I've done before I even competed in beauty pageants, and I'm happy that the Miss Universe organization don't give us one platform and one thing to concentrate on. They give us a broad amount of charities. So I do my very hard work with the Breast and Ovarian Cancer Awareness, but I also volunteer with everything else, including the USO, which I was very proud of. To thank when the 9/11 news came out the other day, and also the fact that we do work with GMHC, which is a big gay men's health crisis. So we're not an organization that just does work with one. We try to help as much as we can, and I'm very proud of that. You know, and one thing I did before winning Miss USA is educate women on self-defense. So I think that's what Miss Universe organization was thankful to allow me to take the time off and go on Tough Enough, because they realized that it was kind of important for me to break stereotypes and barriers, but also show that it's okay for women to be tough and let aside beautiful.
Well, exactly. You know, and it did, I think, broaden the perspective of the way that somebody would view Miss USA. So, yeah, I think it worked out well for them. I think they benefited from allowing you to do it, definitely. In terms of the USO, I know that with Miss USA, I mean, you are touring all over the place during the year here, and you got quite a lot of travel under your belt and more to come. Has any of it involved anything with the USO? Has there been any USO-related travel?
Oh, yeah, there have been some, but actually that's a great question. At the end of this month, I will be traveling to Germany, Spain, and Portugal with the USO. So I'm very, very proud to be able to be part of that, and I thank the USO for that opportunity.
Oh, that's tremendous. That's so it'll be doing a tour of some of the bases in the various countries then, huh?
Exactly, yes, and I'm very proud of. One thing that I love, and I just, I mean, it's just as an American, anytime I'm in the airport and just see someone in our uniforms, I just can't help but just thank them. And it's something that I'm very proud that Miss Universe organization takes part in.
Well, that's a tremendous way to look at it. I wish more people did. That's sort of something that sticks in my craw, I think, sometimes, is that we only really recognize them under circumstances like the other night. I like to think that this appreciation we're all feeling is maybe going to be a little bit more lasting this time. But again, for your perspective of it, I mean, you get the benefit of having a perspective really that a lot of us don't in terms of being somebody who really came to this country. And I imagine that probably just imbues you with that much more appreciation. I mean, obviously you appreciate Lebanon, but, you know, from the eyes of somebody coming to this country, it must just be a whole new way of looking at things and everything that we have to offer.
Yeah, I came from Lebanon as a child because of, you know, living in Lebanon during the war. And there was really not much we can do in that country. My dad did his best to make sure we were out of Lebanon and into America where we felt safe. After 9/11, we still felt safe because we knew that our country can take care of us and our president is going to lead us into the safe way of what is going to come in the future. So I'm very honored. I'm very proud. Now, going back to Tough Enough, I did get 3 fractured ribs, so I don't know how safe I can be in the rings.
Well, you know, I remember some quotes from you about this not being the end of the road necessarily. So what are some things you're looking at here, again, past the time of Miss USA? And certainly for a place like the WWE, I think the door would always be welcome, would always be open in terms of continuing to look at things. They've brought back people who haven't been winners in their previous competitions. So in terms of the goodwill that you have with them that you've established, what are some things that you're looking to do as time goes along to try to cement getting another solid chance with them?
You're right, actually. Like, The Miz is very successful, the mm-hmm. champ right now, and he didn't win Tough Enough, but I haven't heard anything from WWE. I do know that I have a lot of offers on the table, and that's the beauty of being Miss USA. It's opened up so many doors. So I can't pick one right now. That's how many different options I have, and I'm very proud of. I mean, it's ranging from movies to, you know, having my own reality show. So, I mean, what approach I might take is going to be quite a surprise. I think that when you tune in on June 19th to see me do my last walk, you might find out right, probably right after on what approach I'll be taking.
Well, okay. I'm sure a lot of people will be tuned in for that, yeah, because of the kind of profile that you've had. And it's interesting because in the course of our conversation, we've talked about some different areas here and somewhat of being a trendsetter as far as your time on Tough Enough and really kind of leading to a broadened perspective in terms of how we view pageant winners and everything. And we've talked about separately in the course of the conversation your ethnic and religious background, but to tie that to Miss USA, you're a trailblazer there as well. To be someone of Lebanese and Muslim extract, to be Miss USA, you've really broadened the perspective and the way that we view Miss USA here, and in terms of what's possible. So, what are some thoughts that you have in terms of your legacy and in terms of opening the door subsequently that anybody in America, regardless of what they look like, really could now be considered a candidate for Miss USA, really regardless of skin color or religious background?
Well, that's a very good question. You know, one thing that I need to mention is that there are a lot of pageants out there, but the real and the ultimate pageant is the Miss USA, the Miss Universe, the Miss Teen USA. In my opinion, the reason for that is when they judge these women, they're looking at them from perspective of how confident they are, if they can represent this country, if they can be a public figure. They're not looking at blondes or what hair color, eye color, or what ethnicity or religion background they have. So that's my opinion. I wish that America and the world can be like the Miss Universe organization. But the great thing about it is when I won, I felt fear. I felt fear because a lot of I was being attacked in many different ways. But one thing that our president, Paula Sugar, said to me is that as Miss USA, there's three things that you're going to gain. And if you don't gain these three things, then I feel like I didn't do my job. But she absolutely did it. Maybe 2 months after I won, I already felt these three accomplishments, which were being fearless, accomplishing personal goal, personal growth, and also breaking barriers. And I definitely feel like that's everything that I've done as Miss USA in so many different ways, you know. I mean, the only thing that Paula feared when I went to Tough Enough was coming back with a broken leg. So I mean, she definitely have to thank her and thank the Miss Universe organization. And I hope that everyone else can see that you can definitely accomplish anything you want in life as long as you have that belief in yourself.
Absolutely, and that's a great message that the pageant helps spread, definitely. And again, you know, as we indicated here, and as you just reinforced, really, that's a big part of your legacy as Miss USA, that for a country like America that is billed as being the melting pot, you know, I think that's, that barrier's been broken down in terms of ethnic and religious background and anybody really being able to compete for this thing. And it's not just, you know, going to be the blonde, blue-eyed thing that a lot of people think that that it is. So.
Yeah.
In terms of anything else that we haven't hit here tonight that we should be promoting with you, Rima, please take it away. We always love to give our guests a chance to plug.
Well, I definitely want to say that I would love for everyone's support on June 19th as I give up my crown from Planet Hollywood Vegas. I wanted to everyone to continue to support me as I take my road as former Miss USA. And if you need to keep up on my personal news, I'm always very interesting on at The Real Miss USA on Twitter or The Official Miss USA on Facebook. But I want to thank everyone for all their support, and I want them to know that Miss USA is more than tough enough.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And while we're at it, we'll be looking for Ricky in the All-Star game, maybe
as
the starter this year, huh?
Yeah, and one more thing. Please put Ricky in the All-Star.
Yeah.
I think he can do it. His ERA has definitely been really successful. So,
yeah.
But thank you so much. It's definitely an interesting interview, and I enjoyed it a lot.
Rima, it was a pleasure. We'd love to catch up with you again in your continuing travels here, and the very best of luck to you.
Thank you so much. Well, just join us in Vegas or just bug my PR, Kristen, again.
We'll do that. We'll do. My guy is very good at bugging PR people. He's all over it. Okay. Thanks, Rima.
All right. Thank
Appreciate
you.
Appreciate it. All right. Rima Fakih, everybody. Miss USA and one of the contestants on Tough Enough.